Welcome to Radio Tabule, fresh content west of the Middle East, the weekly podcast brought to you by the Levantine Cultural Center. Based in Los Angeles, the center promotes a greater understanding of the Middle East and North Africa with artistic and educational programs that bridge political and religious divides. This is Radio Tabule with a special broadcast of an interview recorded by our colleague Aisha Mason at KPFK 90.7 FM with The Way Forward. Ms. Mason talks to playwright and performer Salim Azuka, the man behind the play Salam Shalom, and Jordan L. Grobley, founder and artistic director of Levantine Cultural Center. Salim discusses his play, an edgy love story between an Israeli and a Palestinian, which ran at the Greenway Court Theater during March and April 2010.
Salam Shalom is the story of an Israeli and a Palestinian student in the U.S. who fall in love in spite of politics, culture, and the conflict that separates them. When these two men return to the Middle East, political unrest, family expectations, and ancient traditions threaten to destroy what is precious between them. But can their love survive the realities that surround them? Salam Shalom challenges our stereotypes. It rejects simple answers to very difficult problems, and it looks at the tension between people and nations through the lens of a single relationship. My guests today are playwright and actor Salim, who writes about the experiences of Arab Americans living here in the U.S., and because he is openly gay, he writes about the... because you are an openly gay artist. You write with a great deal of sensitivity about this issue, and you incorporate it into your work. Salim was also the recipient of the 1996 GLAAD Award for this internationally acclaimed production, Salam Shalom. And he is also frequently a participant at the Highways Performance Space and was part of the creation of the first production to spotlight Arab American communities in the U.S. that was produced by the Cornerstone Theater Company. Also joining us today is Jordan L. Grobby, who is the co-founder of the Levantine Cultural Center. A writer, editor, and producer, Jordan is of French and Moroccan origin. He's passionately committed to strengthening Arab, Muslim, and Jewish relations, having founded the new association of Sephardi Mizra Artists and Writers International and the Open Tent Middle East Coalition. Jordan received the Local Hero Award from the Foundation for World Arts and Cultures and Earthways Foundation in 2008, and he serves as the Levantine Cultural Center's acting director. Welcome to The Way Forward, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Salim, I just saw the play on its opening night. I want to congratulate you on what I thought was a really provocative and sensitive story that pushes the envelope. And I want to invite you to just describe it for us and kind of the history of this piece.
The best way to describe the piece is really it's a human story. Yes, it talks about the politics of the Israeli-Palestinian issue, and it's a love story between two men, but it's not really about that. It's a human story. It's a love story between two people. I wrote the play in 95, end of 95, as a workshop at the Open Fest Theater. At that time, my actual Israeli lover left to Israel. We didn't break up, it's just he had to go back. And when I had the relationship with him, I knew that he was going to go back. So it was very interesting knowing that you're going through a relationship that is going to end. And that's why for those 2 years, it was very intense, because we made the best out of it. So he went back. I was a basket case for some time. And one of my friends at the theater, at the Open Fest, Daylene Young, very well-known writer, he said, vent it out, write something about it. So I did, and they laughed about it the first time at the workshop. They said, it needs fixing here and there and here and there, and fixed it, did it as a workshop in 95. And it was very well received. And the rest was history. I developed it as a full stage play, started touring with it, Los Angeles, San Diego, Sydney, Australia, San Francisco, Palm Springs, back to LA, and we're bringing it back one more time.
And this is the 20th production?
This is actually the 10th production.
10th production. Uh-huh.
In the last 14 years, I can't believe that. The main reason why we're bringing it back, of course, because the timing is always right, and we're trying to make the transition between theater and film. So we have a screenplay ready.
This play confronts just not one taboo, but numerous ones. They're political, they're social, they're religious, and it challenges the viewer, the audience, to really suspend all of the beliefs they had when they walked in the door, and all of their judgments when they walked in the door, and it's a lot. It's a lot for them to be integrating. Tell us about how you combined all those different issues of religion, of sexual orientation, of it, really even American and Middle Eastern, because some people they're not just Jewish. The woman is American. Different perspectives even within each cultural group, just not differences between each other. That's a lot to juggle as a writer.
Correct. I'm an artist and I'm a performer, so of course when you write you want to entertain, but I think also you want to entertain and educate at the same time. And homosexuality in the Middle East is a very taboo issue. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, it's just people don't want to talk about it. And I thought when I went through this relationship, I thought if I can bring out the issue in the play, especially, you know, the scene when I come to my father. I mean, that scene is literally word by word of that incident that I had with my father when I came out to him. So I thought I would want to take this opportunity and put a message about, you know, a man from the Middle East coming out, and how does he feel about that, and also the image of gay men and women in the Middle East. I wanted to show that we are basically regular people. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, you know, you can turn to KPFK, CNN, ABC, and you hear the news and you know about the conflict. But unfortunately, the American mainstream, they only see what they see on TV. Now, if they're lucky and they're listening to KPFK, they really hear the good truth. But unfortunately, the images that they watch on TV about Israelis and Palestinians are the very stereotypical. And I wanted to bring the play and show just the other side and show another flavor. You know, always the image of the Israelis as the aggressive soldiers, the vulgar, the mean, and the Palestinians who are throwing the stones and the suicide bombers. I mean, that exist, but also there are Palestinians and Israelis who are craving for peace, and they're trying to get to know each other, and they are falling in love. My story is not like a rare incident. I mean, I hear hundreds of stories between Israelis and Palestinians who are falling with love, men and women, and men and men, and women and women, etc., etc.
I want to invite Jordan into the conversation, but I imagine even though there are all these different kinds of people who fall in love across these boundaries, it's challenging for all of them because of the circumstances in which they find themselves. So, Jordan, the Levantine Cultural...
Yeah, I'd love to jump in here, in fact, if I could, because I know a number of couples that are, you know, that represent, you know, different religions, and, you know, people still are relatively traditional in the Middle East when it comes to their religious, their family identity, their religious identity. You saw that in the most recent movie from Israel, Ajami, where, you know, it's an Israeli movie. The tensions were high between the Muslim characters and the Christian characters, even though they were both Arabs, and also between, of course, the Palestinians and the Jews. And there was a love story there. Some friends of ours, Salim and my friends, are Lebanese. She's Druze, which is a kind of a sect that combines Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, and he's Christian. And they could not get married in Beirut, where they met. They had to elope to Cyprus. And they told me that when they were in line there, there were lots of other couples, including Israeli and Palestinian couples, gay and straight, who couldn't get married in Israel. It's just not legal.
And it's not unusual for the Levantine Cultural Center to sponsor a program like this, one that breaks down stereotypes and really encourages people to look at the world in a more complex way. Can you talk about that?
Well, it's not unusual because one of our primary goals, as Salim knows, because we've been kind of together off and on for a long time in different ways, is to show the factual diversity of the region. You know, people tend to look at the Middle East as a sort of homogenous monolith, which is it's anything but that. The word Levantine itself implies a heterogeneous society, one made up of many different elements. You know, they talk about the mosaic society. That's kind of what they mean. So, you know, if you're talking about Lebanon, there are 17 different religious groups there. If you're talking about Iran, half the country is some kind of minority culture, Azerbaijani, Baha'i, Jewish, Kurdish, Gypsy. So the Middle East as a region is extremely diverse. It's not made up of, you know, just like religious Muslims.
And when we become more aware of that, when that becomes more acknowledged in socially among ordinary people, but also politically, then how do you see that affecting the future of that region? And I invite both of you to respond to that question.
You go ahead, Jordan.
Well, you know, it's what we do in the arts, what the play Salaam Shalom does, what the programs that the Levantine Center presents, we use the arts as a form of cultural diplomacy to create a sort of safe space so people come together and they share in the delight of the movie, the play, or the food, or the writers, the poetry, what have you, and they begin to communicate with each other and share their stories. One thing I have to say that I regret about the Oscar ceremony last night. It was wonderful that Kathryn Bigelow won as the first time a woman director has won for her movie about Iraq. But unfortunately, in her, you know, in congratulating herself and her colleagues, and she only mentioned that she wanted to, you know, put the word out for the American veterans, but there was nothing about Iraqis themselves and how the war has affected them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was like kind of the opposite of cultural diplomacy right there. You know, people are going to go and see this movie and they're going to maybe revel in American heroism, but they're not going to really see why we're there, what we're doing there, what the actual effect is across the board. And so it was in an unfortunate way that the film humanizes women directors, but it dehumanizes Middle Easterners because, you know, the soldiers in the movie refer to Iraqis as Hajis. You know, which is supposed to be an insult, but it actually refers to people who want to make the pilgrimage to Mecca.
But that's not the intent of the way it's used. It is derogatory in the way that it's used.
It's derogatory,
right.
Exactly.
So what this play does is really force you to go beyond a stereotype and see a complexity in each of the characters. None of these characters is just this or that. They don't hold just one point of view. Or their lives are complex, their beliefs are complex. And I want you to respond to that.
I mean, let's face it, I don't think Salaam Shalom will solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
No.
But you know, it's...
I mean, it raises questions.
It raises questions,
yeah.
You know, like the movie Ajami, like The Lemon Tree, like Paradise Now. I mean, each artist talks about the issue from a different point of view. I definitely, every time I do the production, I try as much as possible to get away from all the stereotypes. And as I said earlier, I hope I succeeded in doing that, I really try to be as authentic as possible in portraying the two cultures. And I'm not saying this out of being fearful, but even when I talk about the play, I always try to concentrate on the human aspect of it. The gay issue and the political issues are like the spices that you add on this hummus dish that makes it more tasteful. But really, I want people to see it as a human story. And I want it, as I said, to break that stereotype of the Israelis look like this and the Palestinians look like this. One of the lines in the play, you know, you don't look like an Arab. You know, what's an Arab supposed to look like? What's an Israeli supposed to look like? So that's another reason why I wrote the play the way it is. Even in the casting, you know, we didn't want to go with the... I mean, the guy who played the Palestinian character as Malik, he's an Indian from London. You know, is there a look of Malik? Is there a look of Yaron? So I tried even to include that, you know, in the casting just to break all the stereotypes about the play.
And we still think... I mean, I would still tend to think of Arab and Jewish cultures is relatively conservative culture as a whole. And I realize I'm speaking for a whole group. How has the play been received in those communities?
We had some Arab audience on the opening night. Actually, two ladies came and they were very thrilled by the play, and they thought that it wasn't offending to them at all. But just in general, I really would like more of the Middle Eastern Arab American audience to come and see the play. I think in general it was more well received within the mainstream and the Jewish audience. That doesn't mean that there aren't Arabs who came and saw it, but I would like more of them to come and see it, especially now these days the issue of homosexuality in the Middle East is actually now being talked about. You know, there's a movie that came last year, it's called In the Name of Allah, which is a documentary about gay and lesbian Muslims in the Arab world and in the Muslim world. Now these days, the advantage of the satellites, you know, you can create a program in Europe and everyone in the Arab world is watching it through the satellites because there's no the censorship of the governments. So all of these issues about the gender issues, women issues, gay and lesbian issues, I mean, in Lebanon, there is a group of the gay and lesbian organizations called Hulum, which means dream, which is actually an organization that is recognized by the Lebanese government. They do a lot of HIV AIDS education, mm-hmm. prevention. Things are changing, but very, very slowly. But still, the issue is very, when you just talk about the issue, it's people feel very uncomfortable. And I think mainly because culture and religion. And I don't know, maybe the play, I mean, I like to provoke people, but I like to provoke them in a very tasteful way. And also, as you said, just make them think. I don't want to convince. I don't want to change people. I just want to open their mind and say, look at it from this point of view and look at it from this point of view.
Now, in the play, Nabil, who is the Palestinian student, he's referred to several times as being a dreamer or being naive. And I wondered what you see as the fate of people who resist these political, cultural norms. And was he really as naive as he was accused of being?
Maybe he is. Nabil is a dreamer. But, I mean, as Salim, as Nabil, and, you know, I'm not a political person, but I never believed in two-state solutions. I believe in one land for all who really choose to live on it and contribute and share. Why someone who lives in Tel Aviv cannot drive and go to Gaza and have a picnic on the beach there? Or why someone from Gaza cannot drive to Tel Aviv and go to a movie theater? I mean, I never believe, but that's my own personal belief, and Salim.
That's what's in your heart.
That's in my heart. It's one land for everyone. I mean, look at this country. It's called the United States of America. I don't know. Let's call it the United States of the Holy Land. Everyone contribute and share and become an equal.
Now, I want to take a minute just to remind our listeners that this is KPFK Radio, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. This show is The Way Forward. I'm Aisha Mason, and we're speaking with Jordan El-Grabi, who is the co-founder and artistic director of the Levantine Cultural Center, and Salim, who wrote and stars in the play Salam Shalom, which is now the Greenway Court Theater in L.A. Jordan, your work with interfaith, intercultural dialogue and exchange, it's been, in a sense, a lifetime commitment, and you started the center itself shortly before 9/11. Have you seen a change in the public's response to Middle Eastern culture change over these years?
Oh, yeah, I've observed that Americans have become much more interested. First of all, they didn't understand what the hell happened on 9/11. You know, as somebody in the administration, in the Bush administration, said right afterwards, well, do they hate us? Why do they hate us? And the Gallup organization went and polled 32 Arab or Muslim countries over 6 years, and they polled the equivalent of about 1 billion Muslims to find out what they think about the United States. And so Americans have been wanting to learn more about the Arab world, the Muslim world. You know, who are the Iraqis? What is Afghanistan? What are we doing there? So we've noticed a sharp increase in people's interest. We started this center before 9/11, and we thought because of it we probably would have to cancel the project, literally, And the opposite's been true. So more and more people show up to listen to the authors, to see the movies, you know, that we screen, or to engage in the dialogues. So yeah, I mean, we're spending. Does anybody know how much money we're spending on Iraq and Afghanistan right now, rather than on our own social welfare? It's a lot of money, but you know, we can just try to step in a little bit and fill in that gap for Americans to become a little bit more informed.
And really be able to wrestle with more of the just not just what they see in the moment, but the historical piece, the cultural piece.
I really believe that Americans are very hungry for information. It just for us being given the opportunity to give this information. Talking about 9/11, I remember when that happened. I had some of my friends, which was really kind of weird coming from them. They would call me. They said, "Salim, don't worry. You don't look like an Arab. You won't be harassed." And you know, again, I mean, the comment was so ignorant because, you know, because I'm white. You know, I don't pass as an Arab. So they said, "You're safe. You know, you won't be picked up." And I really felt sad about it, because as soon as I speak and they hear an accent, "Oh, where are you from?" But I do agree with Jordan that even for me as an actor and as an activist, as soon as 9/11 happened, I was bombarded with calls from KPFK, a lot of organizations who wanted to be on panels and speak and educate the American public. So in a way, it was a blessing in disguise. I mean, it gave us, the 9/11 gave the Arab American community and the Middle Eastern community the opportunity to go and talk and educate the American public.
Now, in the time that we have left, I do want people to know about how they can see the play and also about some of the upcoming events at the Levantine Cultural Center. So I understand that you have a gift for some of our listeners.
Yes, actually, for this weekend, we do have four performances. Friday at 8 o'clock, we have Saturday matinee at 3, Saturday at 8, and Sunday, March the 14th, after the 7 o'clock show, we're going to have a talk back, actually sponsored by the Levantine Center, and it's going to be about homosexuality in Judaism and Islam. And we're giving four pair of tickets for anyone who's interested to come and see the play. We can give the number later after the show, but the play runs at the Greenway Court Theater in West Hollywood at 544 North Fairfax, one block south of Melrose. And if you want to get more information about the play, you can go to www.salamshalomtheplay.com. And the phone number for reservations is 323-655-7679, extension 100, or they can go to the website.
So we have four pair of tickets available. They can call KPFK now if you want to take advantage of those tickets. And our number is 818-985-5735. Following our fund drive, I think all of you should know that number by heart. But just in case, it's 818-985-5735. That's KPFK. And you can call if you'd like tickets to see the show, Salam Shalom.
And also on March 14th, that's the Sunday performance, there's going to be a panel discussion about homosexuality in Judaism and Islam, and there's going to be people from both sides talking about it.
And it's the kind of play that you want to talk about when you leave it there. You just don't want to just go home.
Yes.
Now, Jordan, I also want you to be able to talk about the show that's coming up Wednesday at the Levantine Cultural Center.
Oh, on Wednesday night, we're actually welcoming an author from abroad. Her name is Rachel Shabi. She's originally from Iraq. She's an Iraqi Jew, an Arab Jew, and she wrote a book called We Look Like the Enemy, The Hidden Story of the Jews of Arab Lands in Israel. So that should be an interesting conversation, because, you know, when we say Arab Jew, people kind of turn their heads and go, how is that possible?
I get whiplash.
Like two opposites, right?
You are one of them, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm one of them. So actually, in my family in Morocco, my grandfather was half Berber, half Jewish, and some of my relatives are Muslim who live in Fez. So in one family tree, we have the Berbers, the Jews, and the Muslims, and that's not an unusual story in Morocco. And it's probably a little more unusual in other parts of the Middle East, but in every Arab culture, you find Jews and Christians and Muslims, and sometimes in their families, they're intermixed, intermarried, they've converted one way or the other, so they become sort of like these cultural commuters, you know.
Now,
we're used to it here.
I want to mention the website for the Levantine Cultural Center, which is levantinecenter.org, so that they can find out more about the Wednesday program and the other programs that you offer at the center. And I also want to mention...
And the play, too.
And the play. So all of that's at one site, levantinecenter.org. Also, Jordan is going to be speaking at the American Friends Service Committee downtown this coming Thursday as part of the Friends Peace Dialogue. It's also the Downtown Art Night, and so if you haven't come downtown for that ever, you should. It's quite an experience. So again, we want to thank you both for joining us. It's been a really pleasure to talk with both of you, where you really lift up the work of artists in making political and cultural change. I want to thank
Aisha,
you.
Aisha, you're awesome. Thank you for having us. It went way too quickly. We've got to do this again sometime.
I know.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Radio Tabule, fresh content west of the Middle East. Please support the programs of Levantine Cultural Center with your contributions. Visit levantinecenter.org to learn more about how you can become involved. Radio Tabule, produced by Jordan El-Grabli, Jen Reinhardt, and Frieda Becker, with music from Omar Fidel, omarfidel.com.